This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen is out of the job as President Trump confirmed with a tweet yesterday that she was resigning her position. Numerous reports say Nielsen's been pressured by President Trump to submit her resignation. Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers Kevin Hassett says he never saw any indication that Trump and Nielsen didn't get along, and the sense was she had done a fine job.
And we're sorry to see her go and grateful for her service, but I've been in the room with her and a whole bunch of people in the White House, including the president, and never seen anything other than, collegiality.
Hassett was speaking on the Fox Business Network. The United States is designating Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization. It's Virginia and Texas Tech tonight in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship tip-off at 9:20 Eastern. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Democrats continue to talk about subpoenas to get a hold of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report on the Russia investigation. One of the president's lawyers, Jay Sekulow, says it's kind of early for that.
There's a process going forward. I think it's moving quickly. I mean, the attorney general got out his letter putting forward the principal conclusions very quickly. He said you'll have it by the 15th or sooner. That's why I find it ironic that people are talking about subpoenas already for the document when we're probably less than a week away or about a week away from getting them.
He spoke on ABC's This Week. Keith Urban, the big winner in this year's Academy of Country Music Awards, taking away the Entertainer of the Year honor.
To the fans out there, you are amazing. You have no idea how much you mean to me. No idea.
At last night's show in Las Vegas, Kacey Musgraves won Female Artist of the Year and for Album of the Year. Baylor's the NCAA Women's Basketball Champ. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Republican Congressman Devin Nunes plans to send 8 criminal referrals to the Attorney General this coming week that focuses on the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation, USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Nunes tells Fox News 5 will name specific people and crimes, 3 deal with conspiracy, misleading Congress, obstruction, and classified leaks.
This is kind of a strange situation where you have McCarthyism, like new McCarthyism, that merged with Watergate wannabes. You had unbelievable leaks that occurred across all levels of our government. You had all sorts of reporters. 90% of the press essentially was in on this. It started by dirtying up a presidential candidate, and then it went on to dirtying up a president.
Nunes is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee.
President Trump addressed the Jewish Republican Coalition's annual leadership meeting in Las Vegas on Saturday. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The president spent most of the speech touting his administration's accomplishments and stressing what a strong bond Israel has with the United States. The president also accused Democrats of being anti-Jewish and anti-Israel.
The Democrats' radical agenda would destroy our economy and very well could leave Israel out there all by yourselves.
The president also reminded the crowd that it's his administration that has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Adam Andjeski is joining us now. He is the founder of OpenTheBooks.com and author of Operation Drain the Swamp. Adam, always good to have you with us. How are you?
Great to be on the program, Bill. Thank you very much for your interest in our work.
Well, I always appreciate all your hard work, and especially this new report that you just released. We talk a lot about higher education here in this country. But your report really is shaking the roots of U.S. higher education. Tell us about it.
So it's basically a cheat sheet on American higher ed. And everybody listening to your program today, I mean, we're all well-versed in how the well-to-do and well-connected families try to cheat their kids on the admission process into the elite schools. Well, we think, Bill, that the biggest scandal facing American higher education is something a lot larger than this, and it is the sheer cost of a college education with these tuition costs. And our report shows many things, but one of the things it shows is that the sheer amount of taxpayer money flowing into the system is actually driving up the cost and driving up student debt. And as you know now, student debt now exceeds credit card debt. It's $1.7
trillion. Wow. Now, that is unconscionable. So break it down for us, Adam, so that people understand, you know, what is going on, because this has been a slow creep. And like any other slow creep that goes on, when it goes over the hill, it starts to roll down pretty quick. And this seems to be the case when it comes to the expense of what's happening in our institutions of higher learning.
Some of the top-line findings from our report, and everyone can download a copy at OpenTheBooks.com in our report section. First one, the wealthy colleges received nearly $7 billion last year in federal student aid subsidies, and we all paid for that. We've got the 25 wealthiest schools in the country. They're the schools with the largest endowments, collectively over $250 billion of money in the bank, money in their endowments, $272 billion of money, and they soaked up last year, paid for by the American taxpayer, $7 billion worth of subsidies. And here's what these schools need to hear. They need to use their endowment dollars and make themselves more affordable.
So, again, help us understand. I mean, they get $7 billion of the people's money. So how is this happening?
These rich schools are getting richer, and the American taxpayer is funding it. And look, there is no public purpose argument that I can think of to compel working and middle class taxpayers to help students go to these colleges by subsidizing their tuition. Just the eight schools of the Ivy League, about 2 years ago, we did a study, and they had $120 billion in their endowment at the time. and we ran that out, and we showed that without any further gifts, that endowment is so large in the equivalent, it could provide free tuition to every single undergraduate for the next 51 years. And with further gifts, it could provide a free college education to every undergraduate forever.
So here they are just scamming, you know, scamming our system, you know, taking advantage of the people. And how did we get into subsidizing these higher institutions of higher learning?
Got into it was every single student has a federal student aid package that they can, you know, that's given to an undergraduate, for example, on loans and grants, depending on your wherewithal in the world. And then you can take that anywhere. Well, these packages obviously are being taken to wealthy and elite schools who now, you know, literally have all the money in the world. They don't need our money. They need to lighten the load on the American taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. And is there a better place for that money to be invested in, like maybe community colleges?
Well, absolutely. In our report, we did show that there was a lack of accreditation at the community college and junior college level, and it cost the American taxpayer dearly. So, Bill, last year, into the 50 worst performing junior and community colleges across the country, WalletHub ranked them. We took a look at those 50 underperforming schools and how much money they received from the American taxpayer, and it was nearly $1 billion. So the 10 worst schools actually had a graduation rate of 12%. These students aren't graduating, yet they've got to pay back. Students and families have to pay back large student loans.
12% graduation? I mean, Who's minding the store here, Adam?
Well, you know, we've called on U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos to institute some common sense reforms. So, you know, I think it's bipartisan that the Ivy League and wealthy schools should start paying their own way and come off of Uncle Sam's dole. I think it's bipartisan that accreditation standards need to be tightened up because the American people are paying for these underperforming schools and these poor outcomes. Here's another area of bipartisan where bipartisan reform should take hold. I don't care if you're a progressive Democrat or a hard right Republican and everybody in the middle, you should agree that we should stop paying billions of dollars worth of improper payments. The Department of Education admits that over the course of the last 2 years, they have overpaid $11 billion worth of student loans and Pell Grants. Now, they forecast in 2019, fiscal year 2019, that these overpayments are going to increase by 4%. This is an outrage. The department has an abject lack of basic financial in-house controls. They need to get there. They need to stop these improper payments and institute controls immediately.
I mean, see, this is what happens when you deal with the people's money. I mean, and they probably compare it to other agencies and other government waste projects or whatever. And so they figure, well, 4% is really nothing in the scheme of things. But 4%, you know, what are we talking about? What you know, let's convert the 4% into real dollars, Adam. What are we looking at?
So it's about $4 billion worth of student loans that were overpaid, and 8%, which is a massive number, 8% of Pell Grants were overpaid last year. And a Pell Grant is something that students don't repay.
And so here we are overpaying it, and it's just Atlas Shrugged. Nobody really is paying attention. It doesn't matter, right?
Well, the Office of Management and Budget, they admit that they don't go after, on a systematic basis, individuals who receive improper payments from the 20 large federal agencies. They don't think that the cost of recovery pay for itself. They only go after federal vendors that have been overpaid. So they just let this go.
So, meanwhile, these students are capturing money, and there's no integrity. For them, they just figure, okay, you know, I get the money, it's no big deal, so I don't have to be honest about it, I don't have to have any integrity about it, I just keep the money, because somehow it's justified. It's their mistake, my finding, and no big whoop on the taxpayer, right?
The lack of integrity in the system is hurting and harming and tearing at the edges of the American dream.
Well, without a doubt. And then what's going to happen when the American people say enough is enough and they want that out of there? We're going to talk more about it with Adam Andrzejewski from OpenTheBooks.com. Stay with us.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle? Or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies. Or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, You know, I don't blame you for being frustrated every time you hear about the waste in our government, but look at, you've got to do something with this frustration. It's time to take action, ladies and gentlemen. Our government has been running amok. Meanwhile, you know, the general consensus, Adam, I would tell you, is people are frustrated. They're saying, look, we're not being fairly taxed here. There's some unfairness going on. And then in the midst of this sentiment and this growing distaste for taxing of everyday Americans, we hear about the waste that continues to run rampant in this bloated government. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're $22 trillion and counting in debt, and there's obvious problems. And then here it is, the focus right now with us and what Open the Books has been doing here is taking a look at this U.S. Department of Education Open the Books oversight report. And, you know, right at the head, we talk about 10 takeaways, and we've touched on several. And you said we're only about a third of the way through, and I'm still counting billions of dollars.
Well, look, the American taxpayer is being fleeced. We're being ripped off. And specific to higher education across the country, it's students and families that are being taken advantage of. I want to call you to one of our findings from our report, Bill. And everyone can download a free copy of it at openthebooks.com in our report section. We showed that tax dollars are actually driving up college tuition costs. It's now commonplace for the tuition costs of beauty schools. They're called colleges of cosmetology, and those costs now routinely exceed the tuition prices charged by Big Ten universities. In fact, the largest chain of these beauty schools, the Empire Beauty Schools, they admit to charging tuition of over $28,000 a year. It's a one-year program. Graduates are
$28,000 for a beauty school certification. You know, I was looking at the line here, and it's what, $677.4 million of an...
Just into the Empire Beauty School chain, over the course of the past 4 years, our auditors quantified over $500 million flowed into this chain. Because of those taxpayer dollars and the sheer amount of them, this school now charges for a one-year program where you come out to manicure nails, do massage, cut hair. They charge $28,000 of tuition because taxpayers are footing most of the bill.
So they're just jacking up the price up there where normally, what in terms of a comparative here, Adam, normally what would they charge for, you know, for beauty school certification?
You know, if marketplace forces, so you come out, I think the average graduate makes about $28,000 a year. So maybe maybe a one-year program where you get this license to do beauty, you know, maybe that's a $5,000 to $10,000 a year tuition cost, and you come out and you're qualified. I don't know what that price is, but I do know that oftentimes just the scissors that they cut with cost over $1,000 a year.
What? The scissors? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you see, this is the typical stuff that when it's other people's money and it's government subsidized, I mean, now here we are, we're getting into this ludicrous stuff, you know, like we see what happens at the end of a fiscal year in the government business because you've got to vacate budgets, right? So all of a sudden now you're spending $10,000 for a number two Ticonderoga pencil because you've got to vacate budget, right?
That's right. And it's not only the beauty schools that we show. Look, there's a lot of non-traditional schools, but then there are some ones that I bet you folks in your listening audience, you know, they have no idea that you and I are subsidizing these schools. There's a school down in New Orleans, and over the course of the past 4 years, $10 million worth of taxpayer federal subsidies flowed into this school where students learn bartending and gambling. Then you've got the Professional Career Golfers College, and they've got campuses in California and South Carolina. And $5 million of taxpayer subsidies flowed into the Professional Golfers College. They're the only school they tout on their website where you can golf 7 days a week, but the course doesn't even open till noon, probably because none of the students are up before noon.
This is, I mean, why are we, again, I guess that's the question you keep asking, is, you know, what are we doing? Why are we supporting these things? And of course, you know, this is brought to you by special interests and, you know, congressmen who, you know, get their access and divert these funds. And then what happens is, you know, to your point of all this, is that it raises the cost of tuition. And I mean, again, this is the unintended consequences of government, you know, meddling in business. Instead of allowing the free market to work its way through, they go ahead and feel like somehow they've got to support it. And I mean, are there that many golfers, I guess, that, I mean, that's a voting block that they need to be so interested in that they're going to use the people's money?
Well,
I mean, is this a till death do us part? Till death do us part endowment here, Adam, or, you know, can this be lopped off somewhere along the line?
Well, your point's well taken. It seems once again that higher education has proved the rule. That's really at the crux of what we're talking about, that the fastest way to make something really expensive is for Washington, D.C. politicians to try to make it affordable by throwing our money at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we went through that with health care, right? It was supposed to be the Affordable Health Care Act, did just the opposite.
Well, and, you know, that you have huge government subsidies into an industry, what you have is you have industry consolidation amongst some very, very large players that have the clout and the wherewithal to hire the lobbyists and to fence out their smaller competitors. We see it in higher education. Our report shows that for-profit schools now are top-heavy. It's a top-heavy industry. Just 10 schools soaked up 30% of all federal funding into the for-profit colleges.
Wow. How much more do we have to learn about this, Adam? And you said you're just scratching the surface here.
High-level findings from our auditors at OpenTheBooks.com. One of the things that absolutely drove me crazy was that that higher education today is literally a billion-dollar boondoggle for students and taxpayers. The Department of Education, we found, they estimate that 26% of all federal undergraduate student loans made last year will eventually default at some point. That's a stunning statistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than one out of every four loans will default at some point last year. This is an industry in crisis and chaos.
Well, you can't have people graduating from school. I mean, look it. We've learned the hard way, Adam. Even if you have a $3,000 credit card debt, that haunts you forever. It seems like that's one of those things that just doesn't go away. And $3,000 is not enough. I mean, you got some of these kids, you know, coming out of colleges with $100,000-$200,000 worth of debt that they have to overcome before they're they're in the black. And they're able to do something about their, I mean, how long is it going to take them to get out of this? And as you say, a quarter of those are going to default. And how long are they going to carry that on their credit record?
So, you know, these are lifetime, indentured.
That's what I was going to say. It's indentured servitude of some form that never goes away.
Right. So, but students, about 30% of students that have student loans while they're still in school, they don't even realize it because the colleges term these things as awards. They throw it in with grants. So a Brookings Institution study found that 28% of college students signed up for student loans don't even realize that their award is a debt and must be paid back. The kids don't.
Oh, thanks for the award.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. And then, of course, then you have all, you know, you got Bernie Sanders and everybody claiming, you know, free tuition. And how are they going to make this happen?
Well, again, the fastest way to make something affordable is to have a Washington, D.C. politician, you know, the fastest way to make it expensive is for a D.C. politician to try to make it affordable. And we see that playing out across the entire continuum in higher ed.
Yeah, affordable and the Beltway idea of what is affordable is an oxymoron. That's become loud and clear. Adam Andrzejewski has been with us as always. OpenTheBooks.com is where you want to go. Adam, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen is out of the job as President Trump confirmed with a tweet yesterday that she was resigning her position. Numerous reports say Nielsen's been pressured by President Trump to submit her resignation. Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers Kevin Hassett says he never saw any indication that Trump and Nielsen didn't get along, and the sense was she had done a fine job.
And we're sorry to see her go and grateful for her service, but I've been in the room with her and a whole bunch of people in the White House, including the president, and never seen anything other than, collegiality.
Hassett was speaking on the Fox Business Network. The United States is designating Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization. It's Virginia and Texas Tech tonight in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship tip-off at 9:20 Eastern. And this is USA Radio News.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rattle what more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's Way Like is fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. It would be nice to meet somewhere in the middle, wouldn't it, these days? But we're going to set that aside. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk baseball here. From New York Times baseball columnist, an enchanting, enthralling history of the national pastime is told through the craft of pitching. Based on years of archival research and interviews with more than 300 people, from Hall of Famers to the stars of today, Tyler Kepner is with us. We're talking about his new book, K, A History of Baseball in 10 Pitches. Imagine that. Tyler, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. I've been a baseball fan. I came from a baseball family. We grew up eating and talking and sleeping baseball. I never quite thought of baseball in 10 pitches. This is a unique perspective. And, of course, you've got just the right people that you've spoken with in discussing, these 10 pitches, whether it's Bob Gibson or Mariano Rivera, Clayton Kershaw, and on and on. What a great concept. How did you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I've got to write this book, hey?
Well, thanks. Yeah, I've always wanted to write a book and I've always been fascinated by pitching, just because, the pitcher sets the tone for everything that follows, right? I mean, the batter just reacts to what he decides. So, You know, it's up to the pitcher to figure out what to throw and where and why. And then beyond that, you know, where did he learn it? And not all these pitchers come fully formed. They got to learn their pitches from somewhere. And you know, in covering the Yankees for 8 years, I saw a lot of pitchers just sort of enjoying talking shop with each other. And, you know, how do you grip this? Or you know, how can I do that better? And, you know, they're creatures of habit, but also they love to innovate and try new things. And it was just a blast being able to find all the greats of the past and ask them how they did what they did so well.
Was there a single pitch that just really revolutionized the game more than any other? I mean, because, you know, basic baseball, you got a fastball, you got a curve, you've got a, you know, a changeup. But it just seems like whether it's Mariano Rivera's cutter or, you know, a squeegee, a screwball or something that came in, was there something that stuck out for you that said, wow, this was definitely definitive when you consider the history of baseball?
Yeah, well, for a long time, it was really a fastball and then anything that was not a fastball, right? You know, before we really learned the names for these pitches. But I think when the slider started coming in, you know, in the post-war eras, that ended up being a big deal. Ted Williams in particular, you know, was a guy who obviously could hit anything. But he talked about how that gave hitters another look, where before, you know, you could fastball and a curveball and an occasional funky pitch like a knuckleball or something. But, the slider being a, you know, an off speed pitch, but not too far off of a fastball. But one with a much different way of moving, really threw a lot of hitters off and served to kind of balance things out. I mean, you know, there was some worry that pitchers were not on the downside, but just that hitting was becoming a lot like batting practice certain times. But when they brought in a slider with a different kind of spin, that shifted it back to the pitchers for a little while.
Explain to our audience what a slider does.
Well, a slider looks like a fastball for a really long time, and then it will. If I'm a right hander and you're a right hand hitter, it's going to look like a fastball until the point when you have to commit, and you know, ideally you're going to swing at where you think the ball's going to be, but then it'll take a slash, a downward diagonal slash away from your bat. And that's why it's so hard, because it's the one that is going to look like a fastball, but then just leave your bat path and go to a place that you can't reach.
And the thing is, Tyler, I mean, when you think about, I mean, these are nanosecond type decisions when you're considering the ball coming at the speed, especially today. I mean, you got guys throwing the ball over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, with somewhat regularity, too. I mean, it used to be that it would be, you know, an outlier kind of guy, a Bob Feller or a Walter Johnson, or, you know, even a few guys who were legendary who never made it. A Steve Dalkowski is a name from the past. The guys who faced him in the minor league said he was the fastest guy ever, but he had no control. But now you see guys coming out throwing high 90s, triple digits. It's not that unusual. Pitchers are throwing harder than ever now. They are trained to do that. They know that that's what's going to get them drafted. There are a lot of velocity building programs that kids can go to. It ends up getting a lot of them hurt because maybe the arm's not built to throw that fast that young. But what we're seeing is such an inventory of high throwing, nasty relievers that managers don't usually want starters to go that long. They don't have to really go seven, eight innings anymore because he got a lot of good arms right behind him.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, this is all part of the strategy of the deal. I mean, even what the other night you had one pitcher throwing a no hitter and, you know, the manager makes a decision. No, we're going to pull him out. And in normal cases, you would let him go until he gave up a hit, right?
Right. I mean, you know, there have been some combined no-hitters throughout baseball history, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think we're definitely seeing guys – we're definitely seeing more often now managers really having no qualms about pulling a guy if he's reached the predetermined pitch count. There were two complete game no-hitters last year, so it was still around. But, you know, one of those guys blew out his shoulder by the end of the year, Sean Manaea of the Oakland A's. And the other guy, James Paxton, didn't, I mean, he pitched well, but he didn't pitch, you know, a 200 inning kind of season. It's very rare to have guys like a Max Scherzer or a Corey Kluber kind of guys who you can rely on, but Justin Verlander, for even 200 innings anymore. Teams are much more interested in getting quality, like give me a quality 170 innings, 180 innings, rather than, let's say, 20, where a lot of them are mediocre.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you say in the book that, and you touched on this just a moment ago, that this game, it starts with the ball, does it not? I mean, you know, the pitcher's handed the ball, and that's where it all begins.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny, the mentality. You know, I talked to Jamie Moyer, who I covered with the Mariners years ago, and Jamie pitched until the year he turned 50. I mean, this was a guy who was just so determined to do it as long as he could. Not a Hall of Famer, but he won 269 games and had a great career. And he is the nicest guy you'll ever want to meet. But he said, you know what, if the umpire comes up to me and says we're starting at 7:06, it's like, well, you know what, we're starting when I say I'm going to start. You know, if it's 7:08, when I want to throw the first pitch, you know, I'm the one with the ball here, and you all can't do anything until I rock into my delivery and throw what I want to throw. And that's – it wasn't always like that, though, Bill. It was, you know, way back at the beginning – pitchers were just functionaries. Hitters were could tell them throw it high or throw it low, throw it here or throw it there, because it was really just a skill of batsmanship and base running and fielding. You know, it was just up. It was just the pitcher was basically putting on a tee for these guys. And then when pitchers finally figured out the power they had to, you know, make the ball move differently, then it became a whole different game. And like Joe Maddon, the manager of the Cubs, says, you could really just call it pitching, because pitching is how it starts, and pitching determines everything.
Exactly. Well, that's interesting. You know, we touched on some of these pitches. I mean, how did this arsenal of these different pitches and the creativity of the pitchers, how did this come about?
Well, a lot of it's just through trial and error and through passing it down through the generations. I mean, that was something that I really wanted to get into in this book, because I love the modern game, but I also love baseball history. I always have. And I love, you know, like this was an example of a story that I thought was exactly what I was looking for in the book. Like, Johnny Padres won the World Series for the Brooklyn Dodgers, the only one they ever won. He was a kid. He won Game 7 throwing changeups. And he became a coach and taught that changeup to other pitchers, and, you know, they won the World Series for their team, too. It was Frank Viola, and eventually Pedro Martinez with the Red Sox learned it from a Johnny Padres disciple. So you can trace the lineage of these pitches all the way back. It's a lot of fun to do that.
Isn't that cool? I love this. This is a history of baseball in 10 pitches. And Tyler Kepner is with us, and he is a New York Times baseball columnist. And, you know, he's sharing what he's been able to delve out, and after talking to 300 plus baseball players and looking at the, as he just shared with us, the origination of some of these pitches. So good fun. And this is going to continue with Tyler on the other side of the break. Stay with us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Tyler Kepner continues with us, sports reporter for the New York Times. Been reporting on the New York Yankees since 2002. Before that, he had covered the Mets since 2000. Prior to joining the Times, Mr. Kepner covered the Seattle Mariners for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer from 98 to 99. And previously, he wrote about the Anaheim Angels for the Riverside Press Enterprise from 1997 to 98. So, Tyler, how did you become a sports writer?
You know, it's interesting, Bill. I just couldn't wait. I loved baseball growing up outside Philadelphia. I loved reading writers like Jason Stark and Bill Lyon and everybody. I thought that would be a way to get into the game. So I started writing a little magazine when I was a kid. I was 14, 15, just stapling it together and then writing some articles with my buddies. And eventually, just really naively, I would send it to sports writers and say, you know, sportscasters, and say, what do you think? Am I doing well? Is this something I should improve on? And some of them would write articles, and that got a lot of attention. And I, by 15, I was doing interviews in clubhouses and around the cage, in batting cage in Philadelphia. So I got into it at a very young age and got the bug to, just do this for a career and learn something new about baseball every day.
Now, were you the typical kid? I mean, you played little league and you got the bug and then decided that maybe reporting was the way to go as opposed to making it to the bigs.
Yeah, I played as much as I could. You know, I still pitch in the media games when the New York media goes up against the Boston media, at Yankee Stadium with my slow fastballs and my big loopy curveballs. I could still get it over the plate pretty reliably. But no, my talent really peaked in high school. I pitched a little varsity in high school, but not beyond that. I went to Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. They've got a really good baseball program. Certainly a lot better than I could pitch at.
Well, and I guess that's the tough thing because, for some of us, and I went through the same thing where you had to say, okay, my future was not the bigs. And I remember it was my senior year in high school, and somebody had asked me, because my brother was, scouts looking at him, and he had an opportunity, but Vietnam, came into play. And so, and he went to several tryouts. But I remember being asked about it, and I realized, and I kind of caught myself, you know, surprisingly realizing that, I might play some college ball, but, that was about it. That, my future was not in baseball, even though it was something I had done all my life and never really thought about it ever ending until I realized, it may be coming to an end here.
Yeah. I mean, it ends for everyone. But I think for me, it was just like I just wanted to find out how to stay in the game, because I stay in the game. I hadn't even really gotten into it yet, but how to continue to have a life in baseball. And it was really just a matter of finding what I did best within it. I mean, after I stopped doing the magazine, while I was at Vanderbilt, I actually interned for the Phillies for a year and had a great time, but it was sort of a decision like, well, should I stay and try to go on a team track or stay writing? And I couldn't put aside the writing. I felt like that's what I did best. Now you see a lot of guys, a lot of these front office guys, you don't have to be a former player or an ex jock to run a team now. You just need to be smart enough to know how to do it. And so a lot of these guys who grew up, studying stats or just, knowing what makes a good player, even if they couldn't do it themselves, they have a chance to come in the game as well. So it's baseball. The tent is a lot broader than it used to be for being able to work within baseball, whether it's as a writer or as an executive or as an analyst.
Mm-hmm. Well, because there's a bottom line to this. Can you win? If you got the goods and you can deliver a winning team, well, all honor and glory, right?
Right. I mean, we see, when the Red Sox finally broke their curse and the Cubs too, it was Theo Epstein was the general manager. He was a sports editor of the Yale Daily News, when he was in college. He wasn't playing. But he was really, really smart. And more than that, he was really, had an ability to communicate with players and with owners, with media. And he's honest with them. Players just want honesty in the end. They just want, I did a profile the other day of a Minnesota Twins coach who came directly from the University of Arkansas. He never played professionally, but the Twins hired him because he really knows his stuff and he really cares about players and making them better. Ultimately, you can have a snazzy resume as a player, but if you don't really know what you're talking about and you can't communicate it to the current generation of players, they don't have much use for you. And in my case, I knew what I wasn't, but I was not a player and I'm not a coach. And I tried to take the approach of, asking these guys, tell me how you did what you did. I want to understand it. I want to communicate it better to my readers. And most of the players were great. I mean, they were really good at just helping me understand, what makes a great pitcher and get inside their mind a little bit.
Tyler, what's a lot of fun too when you hang around these guys is the stories. They can hold your attention, can they not? Tell us some of the anecdote and stories that you picked up along the way.
Well, one that I really loved because, I never expected to get this far back into baseball history was, talking to Carl Erskine, the great old Brooklyn Dodgers pitcher from the 50s. And he was still around and still really sharp. He lives out in Anderson, Indiana. And he talked about Three Finger Brown, the Hall of Fame pitcher from the early 20th century for the Cubs. He was there when they won the 08 World Series, the 1908 World Series. And he said that when he was a young pitcher coming up through the minors, Carl Erskine, he met Three Finger Brown at the team hotel. He lived at the Terre Haute House in Indiana. And Three Finger Brown came downstairs and he would regale the young kids with stories of his playing days and show them his gnarled hand and how he lost his fingers in a machine accident on the farm and how that gave him a great curveball grip because he didn't have really an index finger to get in the way of the ball. He could just grip it with his gnarled hand there and have the perfect curveball grip. So to be connected, by one degree of separation from, just sort of a great old ghost of the game, like Three Finger Brown was, for all just listening to Carl Erskine talk.
Well, and you talk about some of these pitchers, life in retirement. What's that like for them?
It varies for each guy, but I think the further away they get from their playing days, for me, the easier it was to talk to them, really. Once guys get right off the field, that's kind of when it's tough, because they're getting used to being home again, being full-time dads again, and full-time husbands again. That's a big transition for a lot of guys, and I think that it's tragic that he died in a plane crash, but I was able to talk to Roy Halladay a few months before that. And, you know, the first couple of years out of retirement, he was really hard to get. He was, you know, having fun, you know, coaching his kids and being around his family and taking up aviation and doing a lot of things he had always wanted to do. And it was only when he finally got back into it with the Phillies and counseling some of their minor leaguers on the mental side of the game, that he sort of found his calling again within the game. So a lot of these guys, get fully removed from the game, but you find that most of them try to stay involved some way or another, even if it's just in private pitching lessons somewhere or, trying to give back a little bit. It's what they do best. It's what they can contribute. And, you know, most of them,
well, if that's your identity and it's what you know, Tyler, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, it's hard to break away, but it's fun because the stories are so great, and you see broadcasters a lot, you know, in press boxes. Yeah. That was fun for me because it was just a scavenger hunt. You know, I get to go around all of the baseball world as a job, and you know, you'll see Bert Blyleven in the broadcast booth for the Twins, or Oral Hershiser in the broadcast booth for the LA Dodgers, or Keith Hernandez with the Mets, and Ron Darling, and you can just, you know, talk to these guys, Mike Kruko with the Giants, and so much rich history that they can bring out for you when you just get them down talking. So it was a lot of fun, and then trying to track down guys on the phone too was sometimes challenging. I mean, Curt Schilling was someone, you know, when he was in the ESPN booth, we would talk pitching.
Yes,
and he's just had great stories and great insights. So I really loved every bit of the process.
Who was the funniest?
The funniest. The funniest with funny stories. I don't know. There were some guys with some good humor. I mean, I, sometimes, the stories can, there's really no way to verify certain stories, just take them at their word. I remember talking to Mike Norris, who was a really good pitcher for the Oakland A's briefly, and he threw a screwball, which we don't see much anymore. And he talked about how when he was a kid, he swears that he would, the screwball takes a real inverted sort of twist of your arm. That's why a lot of guys don't throw it anymore. But he said when he would go to pick something up, whether it was a bottle of ketchup or a quart of milk, he would do it with his arm inverted like that. He wouldn't pick it up with the hand, the grip toward you. He would do it with his hand out. And he said his mom was always like, "You're going to spill the milk. You're going to." And he's like, "It was just how I naturally did things." So for me to throw the pitch with that inverted sort of twist was natural. And I was like, "Really? I don't know if you would put me on or not, but it made for a good story anyway."
No, it does. What about your favorite pitch and why?
My favorite all-time pitch really I've always been fascinated by the slider just because Steve Carlton was my favorite player growing up as a kid outside Philadelphia. And to see that pitch that he threw that would start out looking like a fastball and then just splash diagonally where guys couldn't hit it, that was magic to me. And he didn't talk much to the press, but being able to, you know, convince them that I was all right, I was just going to talk about his slider and leave it to baseball, he was fantastic. And I heard, you know, the music you played there at the beginning, why don't we just meet in the middle? Baseball is the great bringer together. You know, you can talk about these guys about baseball and everything else melts away. It's fantastic.
Well, Tyler, congratulations on the book, Kay, A History of Baseball in 10 Pitches. It's a great read for those of us that enjoy the game and good fun, and you've done a great job in documenting history here. The book available at all the usual places, correct?
Yep, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores, wherever you want.
And we'll link it on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Tyler Kepner,
terrific.
Sports reporter for the New York Times. Hey, thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Bill. Enjoy it. You too.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word BESTSELLER to 49776. That's BESTSELLER to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text BESTSELLER and get it for free. Text BESTSELLER to 49776. That's BESTSELLER to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text BESTSELLER to 49776.
Hunters, anglers.